Welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, this is once again, this is the probably the most important thing that we do as doctors and offices, which is talk to patients about treatments and how to get things on the schedule, how to get them to move forward with the treatment that they need and that we recommend. So.
Before every Tuesday in our practices, our huddle is called Toolbox Tuesday, where we pick one tool out of our resource kit, and that's what we focus on with our entire team to help calibrate our messaging, make sure that our team is on the same page. So for this Toolbox Tuesday, we're going to be continuing talking about treatment presentations. We talked about this a few weeks back, and obviously this is a huge topic to discuss. And we're going to focus in on what that treatment presentation actually looks like in our practices when our team members are presenting a treatment plan to a patient.
Yeah, it's something that's been a little bit, not a little bit, it's been a lot of an evolution for us and continues to be where we're constantly evaluating and constantly improving on it. But the system that we have come up with and been using for a number of years now is tons more simple than it was in the start. And I think that was kind of the big aha moment for us, is that all these, hour and a half long new patient exams, very complicated, systems are very complicated, records, appointments, things like that, did not translate into a better treatment plan and definitely did not translate into scheduling. And I think that was something that was very, very clear when we started to kind of, whittle down and make it more simple and make it a little more flexible, honestly, with the doctor and the team. But that was definitely a big inflection point for us, and it continues to be with our doctors when we onboard them and start to work with them. And we'll talk a little bit more about it later, but the idea that you have dedicated team members and dedicated doctors to do certain things, or dedicated people to present certain treatment or different things like that, hygiene coordinators, treatment coordinators, implant coordinators, things like that, becomes more of a bottleneck and a crutch than it does actually an engine. And we'll talk a little bit about that, because that's a big topic about what we're discussing today.
Yeah, and I mean, we mentioned this in the last Toolbox Tuesday on this topic that we really work towards cross-training all of our team members to be able to present a treatment plan. And part of this came from acquisitions that we've done over the years where everyone was in a box. I actually just had an interview with someone this morning where she's looking for a new position because she feels like she is trapped in the box that she's at in the office that she's working for, and she wants to learn and she wants to grow. But there's so much of, well, this person doesn't do that. That's not your job. That's my job. And then we would be in the same situation. We had someone who was taking point on treatment plans, and then they're out to lunch. So now we're waiting to send that treatment plan to that patient until that one person comes back from lunch. That's not a recipe for success or growth for anyone. You know, what happens when that person is out sick? What happens when that one person is out on vacation? Are you not presenting treatment plans for 2 weeks? And that was the reality of what, we're up against. And so that was definitely not going to work for us long term.
Yeah. And what it starts to do for the doctors too, it gets in our own minds, and it's not true, but we start to think that if we're not selling cases, it's because of our team. It's because of this person, because I don't have this one key person, right? I don't have this one key team, whatever it is. And that's a very limiting scarcity mindset to have. And I think us as doctors, we need to get to the point where you're not really looking. It is definitely a crutch to depend on one closer that you have, because that closer, we've seen, they have wild ups and downs too as well. And it really limits what treatment you do, when you do, when you work, what cases you sell, even the type of people that you can really make a connection with in the chair too, because some people might not react to that closer, that person in that moment. And so it really kind of broadens your horizon on what you're able to offer and who you're able to work with, and really, gives you the benefit of working with a team versus working with a single individual.
And this ties into our first 400 on our onboarding system, which we'll also be revisiting in another Toolbox Tuesday. Part of it is being scared of what it takes to train someone to do a treatment presentation, right? If you have some kind of recipe that works most of the time, sometimes that's enough. That wasn't enough for us in long term. What we also found when we were starting to actually separate out, okay, what is this magical potion? What is the magical formula that this one treatment presenter has? What we found was there was a lack of consistency there, right? Part of it was that one treatment presenter also didn't have the ability to train someone else.
Right.
or quite frankly, didn't want to train someone else because this was their sphere of influence over the world. So they created a dust cloud. We talked about gaslighters a couple weeks ago. They created a dust cloud of you have to have XYZ number of years here before you can do a treatment presentation because they couldn't really explain it themselves. And when we started to pull it apart, they weren't using the same scripting every single time. Every treatment presentation was a little different. They weren't using patient-friendly terms when they were explaining treatment to patients. The financial policies weren't being upheld. It turned into the wink, wink, nod, nod. There was a special arrangement going on with each individual person that you don't want to have exposed when you have more than one person that's involved in that process. So we blew the lid off of it, and let's just start from scratch and make sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah, and by blow the lid off it, we really meant that everyone kind of becomes a treatment presenter, and it's not to say that you're not going to give the person that's been with you for 1 month the all and X case, and that's not what we're talking about. There's definitely some treatment plans that can be a little bit easier to present for certain people, but we have found time and time again that some of our back office dental assistants have by far the highest acceptance rate. And I don't necessarily think that's the person. I think that's more the system and kind of where they're presenting. And Jennifer will get into that a little bit in a second. But it was really kind of turned it on its head, because having someone kind of go to another room, talk to a brand new person that is this kind of has this closer feel to it, it gets a little bit stressful for patients. And it doesn't, it's kind of a segmentation of, okay, now we're talking about my health. Oh, now we're going to go talk about money. And it really was a big divide in kind of how people talk. And we found that whatever happened between that operatory, that conversation with the doctor, walking down the hall into that treatment presentation room, something happened in the patient's mind that either got them anxious about the whole situation, or had them second guess it, or just made them not comfortable enough to move forward with that treatment that they needed. So, yeah.
So what does this process actually look like? And we have a video of doing a live treatment presentation. I'm the one doing the live treatment presentation, and having a patient be very difficult because I want the most nightmare Karen patient that we can have in the world to how we talk through these things. But we actually have this as part of our training platform to walk a team member step by step on what this looks like. So they can see it in action, they can see the body language, the whole nine yards. So when we're talking about a treatment presentation in our practices, we're giving a patient an estimate of what their cost is going to be for that treatment. So we calculate out the insurance benefits if they have insurance. It has all the financing options on there so they can see everything all in one fell swoop. This is part of our financial policies that we have also talked about in prior Toolbox Tuesdays, where we want our patients to know what to expect. We do not want a patient walking in the door for treatment and they owe $5,000 that they had no idea they owed $5,000. And then you're stuck in a very awkward financial situation. So they know walking in, we can help them with financial applications if they're going with third-party financing, do all of that in advance, and also can keep that separate from the actual treatment appointment. So we have it all up ready to go for them. We are paperless, so we do our treatment plans digital. We have it ready to go right there in the op with a laptop. They're going to go over it in the op. They're going to sign it in the op. It goes in their chart. And then the patient receives an email copy all in the same appointment, all in the same swoop. It's part of the checkout process. So I have that treatment plan up, ready to go. Body language is super important here. The same as we talk about with our doctors with exams, where I'm sitting down next to the patient and I'm sitting down side by side with them at the same level that they're seated. I'm not standing talking down at them. Same with our doctors. When our doctors are going over records for our patients, if they're showing them intraoral photos or digital x-rays, they're sitting side by side with them because we are in this together with them. We are doing this with them, not talking down on them or at them. Then I focus on the positive. We are using patient-friendly language. One of the things that we have found sometimes with our more experienced team members, and doctors are definitely guilty of this as well, we get very excited about the scientific terminology. For most patients, that is scary. They don't want to hear about all of the terms. And honestly, they don't need to be impressed by what you know. That can make you come off like you're a jerk because they may not understand what you're talking about and they're afraid to ask. So you're not helping anyone if you're going down that route.
Yeah, and the body language part is such a huge part of it, because it's such a subconscious thing between both the doctors and the patient, is when we're talking down to someone, we talk a different way. When we're lower and we're going in the same direction, we're looking at things like that. There is a feeling that we're kind of taking this person through a path. We're in this with you together, and it really, really helps. It's kind of for our doctor, we kind of ask them to notice when people are doing this with them in other situations, when they're going up to a store or whatever they're happening, because it really does, it shifts the way you think about that person. It shifts the way you're talking to that person from, oh, I'm being told what to do, or I'm being sold something, I'm being kind of reprimanded, to, this is the person that's going to get me healthy. This is the person that's going to get me the result I want, whatever it is. And we're in this together. This is my partner. And it's a huge shift, and it really does work really well.
So then when we're explaining it, we're using patient-friendly terms. We have talked about trigger words with some of our sound off modules and our Toolbox Tuesdays in the past. We call things in patient-friendly terms. It's a crack, it's a cavity, it's infection. That's it. That covers for 90% of what it is that we're doing. When we found that people were using different phrases, one person might say your tooth was broken, one person would say that it was fractured, one person would say that it was cracked, and all of a sudden the patient thought they had three different things wrong with their tooth instead of realizing it was all the same thing. So patient-friendly terms. Jane, Dr. Erickson has recommended a crown on your upper right-hand side to treat your cracked tooth. We always add the reason why. It is not just that you need a crown. No, you have a crack in your tooth. Yes, the crown is going to treat that crack, but we want that term, that trigger word, to be in their mind when they walk out the door, that they have a crack, not just that they need the crown.
Well,
Your.
sorry to interrupt, Jennifer, is we as dentists, we consider the diagnosis the treatment, right? When we look at a tooth and you say, what's the diagnosis? A lot of us immediately in our head say, that tooth needs a crown. That's the treatment. And I think this is a difference between medicine and dentistry, where they have to code for diagnosis codes and then treatment codes. And we don't have to do that in dentistry yet. I'm sure we will at some point, but in our mind, we are diagnosing treatment. And so we're going straight to the, they need a filling, straight to they need an implant, straight to they need a crown. But the patient doesn't understand that, right? And so what you hear time and time again is, my dentist said I need a crown. You never hear people say, I have a crack in my tooth. The dentist is going to fix it, right? And so that's that kind of disconnect a little bit, to the point where even we're you're looking at the pictures or the treatment plan, or they're looking in their own mouth. If the patient doesn't understand the problem they have, it's very hard to take the next step successfully into telling the patient how to fix you. Otherwise, you get into a situation where you're giving them a solution to a problem that they don't think they have. And that's when that gets into, doctor said I need a crown, instead of, doctor is going to help me fix my crack, cavity, XYZ, whatever it is. Yeah.
Well, it also makes it harder, and there will be some, but if you're truly letting the facts be the hitman, you're showing the patient the records. We say it all the time. As Dennis said it multiple times, I never want my patients to trust me. I'm showing them what it is that they need. It makes it a lot harder for that patient to walk out the door, but this jerk just told me that I needed 10 crowns. No, you have 10 cracked teeth.
Right. Exactly.
So then we talk about finances, right? We talked about before, we have to talk about finances. This is not a pro bono situation. All of our team is receiving a paycheck. So we need to acknowledge the fact that dentistry costs money and dentistry is expensive. Dental insurance is not the same as medical insurance. If you get $1,000 or $1,500, that's a win, right? Sometimes that's a patient re-education process. But we also have to acknowledge that they came in the door for a reason, right? Yes, there will always be a patient who expects that they don't need anything and insurance is going to cover 100%. That's not the majority of your patients. If you do have a patient that is that way, that may not be the best fit for you. They walked in the door for a reason. So we highlight the positive. Your insurance is estimated, 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 estimated. It is in bold, it is in caps on our treatment presentations, estimated to pay $1,000. It is not, and this is a slight difference, but it's not the messaging that goes from a patient when they walk out of your office. It is not your insurance will only pay XYZ. I'm sorry, your insurance only pays XYZ. We have had treatment presentations that have been reported where our team is going in with an apology as if they did something wrong, as if they are the insurance companies that are setting these maximums. Insurance companies are also a business, and they are in the business of not paying out benefits. They are not in the patient's best interest. They are not doing what is best for the patient's dental care. That is reality. Now, I am not saying that our team goes off on a rant trashing dental insurance companies, but we also need to put it in perspective. Hey, if someone's going to give me $1,000 towards treatment, I'm going to take it and be happy with that.
They should know that there is dental insurance is a boon. It is a benefit, and patients need to know that, but they also need to know that it's limiting, right? And the other part about that is they also need to know that we are going to maximize their insurance, and that the estimates are based on what the insurance company gives us. It's not us making up a number, us getting the estimate wrong. We're making an estimate based on the information that your insurance company has given us. And that's a big disconnect. I think that's a reason why a lot of patients get upset when they don't get the coverage they need, or there's the amount that they were reimbursed is a little bit off, or whatever it is they think that it's the office's fault always, right? It's very rare that a patient goes straight to their insurance company to fix a problem. They go straight to the office usually.
Or that an insurance company is going to cover for whatever they need.
Right.
If my insurance doesn't cover for this, I must not need that,
Right.
where it's in reverse, right? And again, this is just part of the patient education process. So highlighting the positive, your insurance is estimated to pay $1,000. We have several options to break up your portion. We list our financial options right there on our treatment presentation. Now, we let the patient come with questions about the financial options. Not everyone needs financing, and we don't want to focus on all of the financing options that we have if a patient just wants to know about CareCredit or they just want to know what their credit card options are, because that's valuable time that we could be focusing on questions they have about the treatment or scheduling. Just like when we're trying to find out a patient's chief complaint and why they came in the office in the first place, we want to address what's important to them. So, yes, it's on there, of course, open to discussion, but we don't harp on that, right? That can also bring some anxiety in a patient's mind of, well, should I be financing this? Do I need to talk to my spouse about this? Do I need to look at all the options that are available? And then they go down a whole other rabbit hole when we're trying to keep focused on the reason why they need the treatment they do. I give two options for scheduling. I used to only give one. I give two. Now, one works out really well. I have this date, that's it. I give two options for scheduling. I have, and I usually go based off of what time the patient was scheduled for their current appointment. So if they're in the morning or in the afternoon, I default to that. I have Thursday at 10 o'clock. I have Friday at 11 o'clock. Which works best for you? It is not, would you like to schedule? A patient's automatic response to a yes or no question is going to be no. Let them come back with what their objections are. Friday doesn't work for me. I need Tuesday at midnight, whatever the situation is going to be. And then you can address whatever those specific objections are. Now, the most important part, the part that I personally love the most of this entire presentation that makes all of our team and our doctors incredibly uncomfortable. I call it silence of the lambs. And it is not because I have favoritism towards Hannibal Lecter. It is because I shut my mouth at that point in time. I have said my piece. I have given them the information. It is now up to the patient to process, sit with that, and let them come back to me with what their next question, objection, what the next step is, and then I can address it accordingly. This is incredibly difficult. It doesn't seem like it would be, but we as people have a need to fill the silence at all times. Silence at all times. I read a statistic that said with social media and how much input we get to stimulation all the time, people start to feel uncomfortable with silence at 2.3 seconds. That is literally a blink of an eye. Someone feels the need that they have to fill the silence. When we have done these treatment presentations and recorded them, and I've asked the team, like, how did the silence of the lambs go for you? And oh my gosh, it went on for so long. It goes on for 5 seconds at best, because that patient is also uncomfortable with the silence. They're going to fill it.
Yeah, and I think this isn't
This is
an exercise in making it feel uncomfortable. What it's an exercise in is not filling the space with unnecessary verbiage, conversation, information, talking yourself out of things when that's not needed. Because what we've noticed time and time again, when I alluded to at the beginning of when we're talking today, is that the simplest, shortest treatment plans tend to have by far the best acceptance rate. And the reason for that is because the more we talk, the more we confuse people and the more we make people uncomfortable, right? So that's why we want to be very, very simple with what we're explaining. We're not oversimplifying, we're not dumbing it down, but we don't want to start talking about the process or the bonding agents or how it bonds to dentin or what frequency of light cures it and all these other things that we kind of go into. We want to be very simple so that patients can understand. Because what happens is when people don't understand something, they get scared. They truly get scared. And that goes for the financial conversation too, right? And so if we're filling that space with, well, your insurance might not cover this. Sometimes we get reimbursement 3 months, but if we'll try to send an appeal once, but if it's a second appeal, maybe you have to call or all these different things that don't matter. They start getting into their head that, oh my God, I need to do 10 times more research on what I need to do. There's no way I understand this. This is too complicated. I'm not going to do anything right now. And then everything just grinds to a halt. And so what we found is that when people, it's a simple, crystal clear explanation and that's done. The silence kind of sometimes, a lot of times, lets them know that this is simple. This team has their act together, and it's up to me to make a decision right now, right? And instead of, oh, there's a million things I need to consider because they keep talking about all these different things, right?
When I tell our team members a treatment presentation should be 2 minutes or less, I'm dead serious going through those steps. And they hear me say that the first time and they think that I have two heads. But again, just to recap on how this goes, Jane, Dr. Erickson has recommended the crown for you on the upper right-hand side. Your insurance is estimated to pay $1,000 towards that crown. We have several financing options available if you would like to break up your portion. I have availability on Thursday at 10 or Friday at 11. Which works best for you? That was 20 seconds, pilot total. If you're scheduling a couple of options, there's no reason that that can't be done in a couple of minutes. And again, there's going to be times that there are questions, and we're going to talk about the objections that patients commonly have to this in our next Toolbox Tuesday on this topic, as that's a topic in and of itself. But that's the main point that we are training our front and back office team members on to make sure that everyone is on the same page with doing this. When you break it down into that small of a segment for them, that's something that an assistant can wrap their brain around. Like, okay, I can do that, right? They know better than front office about a lot of the clinical things. I know what the patient-friendly terms are for that. Back office has a vested interest in this as well from a flow standpoint. If they need that patient out of their op and front office is on the phone, they're going to get that treatment plan together and get that patient the heck out of their op so that they can move on to the next patient. So we've had a higher case acceptance with this scheduling in the back. It's more private. This is not having a financial conversation or yes, we say with HIPAA, we're trying to be careful at the front desk, but you know that the patient that's sitting 4 feet away from you is hearing that, you have infection on 15 teeth. It's not, it makes people uncomfortable. So it's private in their own op. We can schedule right there and it forces us to calibrate the message across the board. We say to our assistants, if assistant, you do not understand before your doctor walks out of the door why that treatment is needed. There's no way that that patient understood. There's no way you're going to be able to translate that to front office. So it's also across accountability from our standpoint. So from a flow, from a cross training standpoint, and from a case acceptance standpoint, this has been a really big key to success for us.
Yeah, and I think that part about the simplicity of it is really the crux of why some of our back office assistants have had such a asymmetric amount of acceptance in one area. And really there's no reason why they should. But the reason becomes more clear that it's because it's a simple system. They don't have to tar start talking about insurance, paying appeals, different things like that, and they just keep it simple. They stick to what they've been taught, and that's it. And that's why patients sometimes feel a lot more comfortable scheduling with the back office. They've already seen that person too. That person has been with the doctor throughout the whole exam. When we're sending a seasoned front office in there, sometimes who really has a hard time simplifying the conversation, the treatment presentation conversation, they know too much about the billing. They know too much about what appeals can happen. They know too much about reimbursements or different insurance, things like that. And they start to talk about that because they want to try to make the patient feel at ease with how much they know and how much they're going to support it. But re what it really does is the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite.
100%. And there will be objections. I said that's going to be a module in and of itself. So we will be back to talk about those objections that patients have and that team members have. Also, just like everything else that we talked about with sound offs, it's about being prepared and knowing that you're going to have a patient that has something to say, knowing that they're going to have financial questions. When you're prepared for it, it makes it a lot less intimidating of what my response should be to that, both for front office and for back office.
Right.
So that will be coming in the next Toolbox Tuesday on this topic. In the meantime, if you want to connect with us about the options that we have for private clients, about how to incorporate this into your practices, you can reach us, connect at pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we are on all of the social media platforms. So feel free to reach out, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Take care.
We'll be back next week.